This morning,
we're going to continue our study we started last week. We looked at what does it really mean to love Jesus? And we looked at the commitment that he calls from us when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, that you will follow me, you will become like me. And we looked at the great commitment that God has made to each one of us. And we'll look at that commitment even more as we go through our lesson today and look at the commitment that God has made. And our basic study today is, are we committed to ourselves? God has done immeasurably more than any of us could even think about in giving His Son for us. He has committed Himself to us. But sometimes, are we really committed to ourselves as well? And we're going to look at our personal commitment to ourselves today. I don't know if you've ever sold a house. You may not have sold one yourself, but you probably helped somebody sell a house, maybe a family member or a friend. And one of the things you do when you sell a house is you immediately go in and start doing sort of like a spring cleaning squared kind of. I mean, you really go through and make your house as good as you can make it. And you go through the closets and you clean out all the closets, stuff you've put back for years and years, and you clean them all out, and you maybe go to your garage, and you've been thinking about doing that now. You're putting the house on the market. You go out and clean up the garage like it's never been cleaned before. Maybe you get a few cans of paint, and you really paint a few of the rooms and make them a lot prettier than they've been. And you finish all this, and you haven't spent a lot of money, but you've put a lot of time and energy, a lot of work into it, and you take a step back, and you look at your house and say, man, this house looks so good, I don't want to sell it anymore. Or maybe you have to, maybe you're moving or something. And then you think about, why didn't I do this before? I've done all this to clean up this house so it looks good to somebody else, but I've lived here for years, and why didn't I do this when I was living here? And sometimes we neglect our houses, and we sort of let them run down, and we don't do it on purpose. It just happens over time. But we just let it happen. Today I want you to think about your spiritual house. Do we sometimes neglect ourselves? And we just sort of let things go along, and we don't mean to. We don't think about it. We've put up with it for so long being this way that we just let it run down. We're going to look at this morning about our spiritual houses and make sure that we're all that we can be for the Lord, that we don't neglect ourselves, that we're committed even to ourselves. Look over to 2 Peter. We're going to be looking at the first 11 verses of this book. Listen to how Peter starts. In our scripture reading, we start at verse 3, but I want you to go back to verse 1. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness or the justice of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace to yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. What do you think about Simon Peter? Peter's one that most of us have heard about as an apostle of the Lord. What do you think about with Peter? Well, think about if you have ever gone out to get a job, most likely you've had to do a resume. And in doing the resume, one of the very first things in a resume is your education. You've got to put down your education and your experience. And often you put down your high school, and if you've gone to college, and then you put down your college, and many of us are even proud of the colleges we go to. Sometimes we might discuss which college is a little better than what other college, but we're proud of our education. Now, maybe you haven't gone to college, but you've got technical experience, maybe a vocational school, and you put that down. And so the education is very important. What kind of education does Simon Peter have? Well, the first time we see Simon Peter in the New Testament, he was a disciple of John the Baptist. And he had actually left his work there as a fisherman to study under John the Baptist. Now, Jesus said of John the Baptist, there's never been a prophet greater than John the Baptist. So Peter started studying under the very best. But he goes from studying the very best to studying under Jesus himself. For 3 years, he studied under Jesus. So Peter had the greatest education we could think possible, studying first under John the Baptist and then under Jesus himself. A tremendous resume that is hard to even think about, someone that would have had that. If you go through the Gospel of Mark, it even says that when Jesus was in private, he explained all things to his apostles. Can you imagine being able to be at the end of the day, hear Jesus give a great sermon, but then at the end of the day you get to sit around with Jesus and say, "Well, Jesus, what did you mean about that? Or I didn't quite understand this." And Jesus explained everything to you one-on-one. That's what Peter received. So he had the greatest education you can think about. Even Paul, when he was in Jerusalem, he comes and they question him and he says, "I studied under the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest Jewish teacher of all time." And that was Paul. But Peter could say, "I studied under Jesus Christ himself." Not only did he study under Christ, but if you look at his relationship with Jesus, often when Jesus was doing a miracle, he would take just a few people with him, Peter, James, and John, up to the upper room when he healed a little girl from death. Later on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus showed him his heavenly glory, when he appeared to him in the glory that he had in heaven, who did he take on the mountain with him? Peter and James and John, but Peter was there. On that last night when Jesus went to the garden to pray in Gethsemane, and he prayed with great agony, he prayed because he knew he was going to the cross. Who did he take with him? He took Peter. Peter, James, and John were there with him. When Jesus turned to his disciples at one time, when many people were leaving him, and he said, "Will you too leave?" Peter stood up and said, "Where should we go? You have the words of eternal life." And later, when Jesus turns to his disciples and said, "Who do you think that I am?" It was Peter who stood up and confessed, "You are the Son of God." We see Peter always at the forefront. He was a man of great faith. He was a man that Jesus felt so confident in, he gave him the keys of the kingdom so that he preached the first gospel sermon there on Pentecost, open the doors of the kingdom. It was Peter that did that. And a few years later, it was Peter that took the gospel to the whole world when he gave the gospel to Cornelius, the Roman soldier. He opened the keys of the kingdom to everyone. If you look over to 1 Corinthians 15, when Jesus arose from the dead and made his appearances to his disciples, listen to what Paul says and how Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Who did he appear to first? Peter. We see Peter throughout the New Testament, Standing very tall, a man of great faith before the Lord. But look at what Peter says in the beginning of verse 1. He says, "To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours." Some translations, a faith of equal standing to ours. Now we can just see what kind of man Peter was. We can see what kind of faith he had by how he lived his life. But he's saying in these verses is that your faith and my faith has a standing equal to God to that faith of Peter's. It's just as precious as Peter's faith. Now you can go through and think about Peter. Here's a man of great faith before the Lord. He was a man that stood up and confessed Jesus. And Peter is saying, your faith is just as good as my faith. It's just as precious, as equal standing before God as my faith. When we stand before God in the last day, and Peter's standing here, we don't stand behind him. We stand equal with him. Our faith, our standing before God, is just as precious before God as that of Peter himself. That's the kind of faith that we've been given. And why? By the righteousness or justice of our God. He's no respecter of persons. He accepts all of us. And our faith is the same as that of the faith of Peter. Now I want you to think about that as we go through. Because sometimes we sort of neglect our faith and we may not think about it as being as precious as that of Peter himself. But listen what he says as he goes on down. Look at verse 3. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires." Notice how he starts. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need to keep our spiritual house in order, he's given it. He's made it available. Some translations say he has granted it to you. He has made it available for you if you use it, as we're going to look at. It's there for you. Everything you need. Sometimes we say, well, if I just had a vision like one of the like I read about in the Bible, or if I could have been on the Mount of Transfiguration and seen a great miracle that Jesus performed or did for us. If I could have been there. But what we're told is that we have all that we need. That we have everything we need for life and godliness with our Lord. We don't need anything more. We have everything that we need to have. If we make use of it, as we're going to look at, that's what we need to make sure we don't neglect ourselves. That we're truly committed to being what we can be for the Lord. Because listen to what he says we can be. There's two great things he says. First, he says, you can participate in the divine nature. You can become like God himself. You can become like the immortal God. Now, can you think about that? He's given you everything you need to truly be like God. We talk about being a Christian, following Jesus and being like him. Peter says, Jesus has made it all available to you. His Father has lavished it down on us that we can become like the immortal God himself. And we can escape the darkness or the corruption of this world caused by our own desires. We've looked at that before. How often our desires get us into trouble. We want things. We desire things. We're basically a selfish people. But through the Lord, we can escape that darkness and live in light. And listen to what he says on down. How we implement this in our lives. Look at verse 5. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make every effort to add these to your faith, or to supplement your faith with these qualities. In other words, when you become a Christian, we're to grow and become what we can be. We're to be committed to becoming all that we can be, and our faith can be what it truly can be. And he starts off with saying, add to your faith goodness. Another word for goodness is virtue, and it's the idea of having courage. Do you think about Christianity as calling you to have courage? The Christian walk is not always going to be an easy walk. If you look back a few verses from 2 Peter, if you look back to Acts chapter 9, you have the example of Paul. Now, we know Paul was, we just mentioned, he studied under Gamaliel. He was one of the great, really great leaders of the Jewish faith and really zealous for the Lord, for the Jewish faith. But on the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to him. And when he gets to Damascus, God sends Ananias to tell Paul what he needs to do to be saved. But I want you to listen to what God says to Ananias. And think about how Paul is going to start his Christian walk. In chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, talking about Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles or to the nations of the earth and to the kings and the peoples of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Here he is starting his ministry, and God tells Paul he's going to suffer for my name. It's going to take courage, Paul. And if you look at Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, he goes through some of the things he did suffer. How many times he was flogged, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was put into prison, how many times he was even deserted by his own brethren. Paul suffered greatly. Can you imagine starting your ministry and the Lord coming to you and say, it's not going to be good. You're going to suffer greatly for my name. Sometimes we see Christianity as we become Christians. Well, everything's going to be now a bowl of roses. That's not true. It takes courage to be a Christian at times. And Peter says you need to add to your faith courage. Look over to Peter's example itself in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, this is the last words we actually have Jesus before he goes back to heaven. And he appears to Peter and some of the other apostles. And if you remember at the crucifixion, Peter denies Jesus. He denies even knowing him. And now here we are a few weeks later, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to Peter and sort of reinstates him and tells him to watch over his sheep. And listen to what Jesus ends with when he talks to Peter. Peter's at now beginning his ministry. Jesus is handing over, really, the ministry to Peter and the other apostles. And in verse 18 of 21 of John, he says, I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So these two great men of God, Peter and Paul, start their ministry knowing that they're going to suffer, even give their life for the Lord. And Peter tells us when we start our Christian walk, add courage to what you believe, because it's going to take courage. And then he goes from courage to add knowledge. Now, the knowledge he has here is a different word than he's used before, and it really means discernment, understanding, what we might call common sense. Add common sense and discernment, thinking about what you're doing. Add to your knowledge self-control. Now, that's not one that we're always good at, is it? Self-control. It really means not giving in to all those little things we want. Having control of our lives. Not giving in to the way of the world. The world tells us, well, you want this and you want that. It's easy to give in to those whims and our wants. Peter says, don't do that. You can have control of your life. From self-control, he goes on to perseverance or endurance. It goes along with the courage. The Christian walk's not always going to be easy. You must endure this world. For endurance, godliness, that idea of seeking to be like God. From godliness, brotherly kindness, and the idea of the brotherhood and caring, truly caring for each other. And from caring from each other to love, that sacrificial love. These are the things that build us up. Have you ever been somewhere and somebody says, do you know you're going to heaven? And a lot of us say, well, I think I am. Peter, the next verses said, you can know you are if you add these things to your life. If you add and make your faith the way it should be, if you are committed to yourself and your faith, you can know that you can be productive. He said, if you add these things, you will be productive. But notice what he says next in verse 8 and 9. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. He's nearsighted and blind. In other words, if you neglect your faith, you're going to be going through life in a fog. You're going to be blind. Have you ever driven in a fog? If you go over the summer sometimes to pick somebody up at the Orlando airport and you go over 528, there's a couple of little hills and valleys. And lots of times in the summer, if you go down to one of those little valleys at night, there'll be fog. And you can be driving along and you can hit some pretty good little fog and you don't know where you're going. Or you're out here on 95 sometime and in the summer and we get one of these downpours and it rains a ton. You sometimes can't see 10 feet in front of the car. It's like you're blind. And you're just driving along just hoping to see the next little white line in front of you. And you're afraid to slow down, somebody's going to hit you. So you're basically driving in a fog or driving blind. Peter says, if you neglect your faith, if you neglect these things that God has made available to you, then you're living life like in a fog. You're just sort of meandering around. You don't know where you're going. You're going to bump into a wall or somewhere else. You don't have to live your life in a fog. You can know and have confidence of your standing before God. And that's where Peter wants you to be today. He says, God has made all these things available for you. Use them. Don't neglect your faith. Don't neglect your spiritual house. Be what you can be for the Lord. Have courage in your life. Have thought to how you live as a Christian. He says you can be sure. Listen to down to the next couple verses. Listen to verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior. You want to be sure you're on the right road? You want to be sure that you're going to end up in heaven? Add these things to your life, and you know that you'll be on that right road. That's what Peter's saying. You can make your faith sure. You can give it foundation. All of us have the idea that we want to be in heaven one day. We want to be out. The idea of being having a welcome in heaven is a very neat idea, isn't it? He says, if you do these things, you can be sure that there will come a day when you will be welcomed richly and warmly in heaven. Now, what more could you want? Peter, in these verses, says, you can participate in the very immortal nature of God Himself. And you can be sure that you're going to have a rich welcome in heaven in that day. If you add these things to your life, if you don't neglect your spiritual house. So this morning, take time to read back over what Peter says and think about your life. Are you making it what it can be? Are you truly, really committed to yourself, to being what you can be, and your faith can be what the Lord calls you to be? This morning, if you've never started that walk, if you've never put your Lord on in baptism and arise to walk that new life, why not do that today? Because see, look at what He promises you. He promises you that you can be truly like God. You can participate in the very nature of God. And you know that you have a warm welcome when you come to the life, at the end of your life, when it's time for you to go into heaven. That's offered you this morning. Think about the way that you're living. If you're really committed to living for the Lord and really committed to yourself, that your faith can be all that the Lord wants it to be. If you have need in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.